news out of the AP today, talking about the fact that a weapon system, highly priced weapon system, the F-35 Lightning II fighter, may have been hacked by the Chinese. $300 billion weapons program.
Let me ask you this. Someone hacks into the system. Doesn't someone have to be fired?
You would think.
Right? I mean, isn't that the responsibility to keep hackers out?
Let's talk to our friend Andrew Kolarik. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. A cybersecurity and terrorism expert. What do you think? Because the Pentagon's denying that this hack happened. What do you think the real case is here, Andrew?
Well, I don't think they're denying that it happened. What I think they're doing is they're saying that the classified information critical to make this fighter wasn't accessed. I think that the reality is any network can be breached, and their particular critical systems are what I would call compartmentalized. They're separated from the external systems for a time at least.
So they could put some layers on there. Not necessarily false information, but you could get into it without breaching the actual secure information is what we're saying here.
Well, yeah, basically under a classified system, that also means you have unclassified documents or levels of classification.
But might they layer that on there on purpose to just like make the people think they're finding something out?
No, I don't think that they're that's called a honeypot. I don't think they're using that type of an approach, but you still have to have communication with your contractors. You still have to have correspondence. There's still certain files you're going to share. Others would be transported differently. So there are still unclassified or open access, with restrictions, of course, parts of their network, but the highly classified stuff are fairly separated from their main system.
Andrew, how are they getting into these systems? Seems like the activity of these hackers really picked up over the last 6 months.
Well, it's not that you can't get in, and that's somehow a new revelation that you can. Everybody has been hacking for a long time. The issue now is that they're reporting it more often, that people are now actually aware of the issue. There's an educational awareness going on. You have now means of tracking these intrusions, even though you can't stop them. And on top of that, if you don't point out that it happened, then you can't correct the problem. So I think that it's a combination of factors that are showing an increase in these attacks, even though they've been prevalent and increasing for quite some time.
And we're thinking it's the Chinese, right?
Well, the reports are that the attacks came from Chinese computers, so ergo, it's the Chinese. Now, which Chinese? Are they government-sponsored? Are they independent intellectual property thieves? Are they, cyber criminals? Are they whatever? It's very hard to pinpoint exactly who's the responsible party. But I would add that China controls the flow of information in and out through the Internet. Google is even involved in this filtering. Now, I would point out, why can't the Chinese restrict access to these sensitive websites and these IP addresses if they're truly cracking down on it?
Because the Chinese are against hacking, right? At least that's what they say.
Well, I think they're going to say that.
The Chinese would very much like to have access to the latest technologies for lots of reasons. Whether they are pursuing this, sponsoring it, so forth, more than likely, but at the same time, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Instead, what I would do is I would say, look, let's take a look at who the responsible authority is, and that would be the Chinese government.
It's like the fox guarding the chicken coop, isn't it?
But they're going to give themselves plausible deniability. It could be state-sponsored hacking, but at the same time, like, hey, we don't know what these guys are doing.
Well, but also keep in mind that if you've got, a couple thousand people with nothing better to do but explore computer networks, regardless of how they're funded, going to get good at it eventually. They're going to share that information and those skill sets with other people, and you're going to have the breaches. Hacking doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of laborious effort to grind through it.
So what? How do you combat hacking? I mean, how would you go about that? I mean, it seems like someone should be look it over and be aware of this. I mean, can someone get in just on the password? I mean, is that how they're getting in first, is being able to know the password to get in?
Well, let me give you a little scenario here, okay, that's relevant to this issue. If you're working for one of these government contractors, you might need to access your internet or intranet via home access. So you have a dial-up connection, or you go through the internet, you log into your machine at work. That machine might need to access, say, the Pentagon's network. So it then dials up the Pentagon's network. At that point, if that is the configuration, a username and password would go a very long way. I suspect it's not that simple, but this is that's the essence of how they penetrated the system.
So you got to come up with a really difficult password. I have one.
Well, but you can create as large a password as you like. There are dictionary attacks. There are brute force methods. Eventually, any password can be broken. It's not just passwords that need to be done. It's also the source machine has a IP address. It has there are various times and access times that you can change and configure. There's additional authentication and access control mechanisms. There's a whole lot of technobabble that we could really go into. But the reality is you can harden these networks.
Well, let me cut right to the chase, Andrew. How safe is the Pentagon? How safe is the Pentagon computer system? Because now they're talking about creating a whole new branch, more or less, of the service to focus entirely on this.
Well, the reality is a lot of infrastructure that supports the military networks are business networks. So they're outside the control of the Pentagon. And that's where the main vulnerabilities occur.
So backdooring it through, say, whatever, for lack of a
IBM
or General Electric or some such.
It might be AT&T or it might be, you know, a host of other various organizations that they've contracted with. If there's a vulnerability there, that is an open door into the Pentagon. Now, again, it's compartmentalized. So once they get to a certain point, they're not going to be able to go much farther. But you can still gather a lot of intelligence. You can figure out who's working on what projects. You can use social engineering methods, make phone calls, show up in person, and gain access to these networks on top of that. So there's a whole genre of attack methods, and very savvy, clever people do.
Well, people want to know more, they can go to your website, which is?
www.andrewkolarik, that's C-O-L-A-R-I-K.
Author, cybersecurity and terrorism expert, Andrew, we appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Have a great night.
Take care.